at 10 o'clock that quite a number of us serve on the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. And there was a meeting that started at 10. So we asked that this meeting be rescheduled to start now. Thank you for your understanding. In our last Strat Plan meeting on the 4th and the 5th, we agreed that today we will be finalizing our Strat Plan. We will have a discussion on the committee program. We had asked the committee section to compile a program based on the decision that we made last week. And we are also going to, I think what is missing here, we are still going to have the key focus areas of justice and correctional services. And then we will discuss some preliminary thoughts around the issue of public participation, because one of the issues we discussed in our Strat Plan was to think around expanding public participation in our programs as the committee. So we'll be getting some preliminary thoughts from the research unit around that that particular topic. We will not conclude on it today. We ask them to prepare something for us to brief us on. It will be part of our ongoing engagement in as far as public participation is concerned. But what we should conclude today is a program for the first term at least, and the thematic areas on both justice and correctional services, in line with the discussions we had last week. I think the person who was not with us last week was Honorable Horn. Would like to say to you, Honorable Horn, happy 2020. Can you use your mic?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I committed to do some party work, which I couldn't change. But thank you for the good wishes. I also want to say I wish everybody on the committee a productive, healthy, and good 2020, and specifically also to the support staff and the researchers who make our lives much easier.
We had expressed our good wishes to everybody except you, and to all our guests and members of the media, happy 2020. Can we start now with the presentation on the committee program?
Good afternoon, members. As we were in a discussion in the Strat Plan last week, we were tasked to go and revise the draft program we initially had. We had sent the program yesterday out to members. I'll start from today's meeting. Obviously, we are discussing and finalization the priority issues for justice and correctional. And as the chair alluded, that we'll be discussing the enhancement of the public engagement committee activities and the adoption of the program. We've just put a note that for tomorrow there's SONA for members, and on the 18th next week, the proposal was that we get a briefing on the prescription and civil and criminal matters, the Sexual Offences Amendment Bill, and on the treaties, we have two treaties listed there. And as members would understand that there was an undertaking that we should advertise the bill. The bill is currently advertised as from this previous weekend, the sexual offences one. And as members would understand, we also have a vacancy of the information regulator. After that briefing, we'll have a brief discussion on the program of filling of that vacancy. The normal program we have of advertising on the website and then filling questionnaires, we'll also have a brief discussion on the 18th. And on the 19th, we suggested that we have quarterly report, second and third quarter, for the Department of Justice. The focus areas, it will be performance against spending, audit turnaround strategy, and the organizational realignment plan, focusing on key vacancy areas, and the update on the summary matters of specific area of consequence management, and also a briefing by the NPA on the same day, with focus areas key performance against spending, the recruitment plan. Remember, the NPA said they're going to redirect the program prosecutor program, so we'll be dealing with that as well. And the progress in establishing the new investigative directorate. Those are the key areas we'll be focusing on the 19th. We suggested that we also invite the Auditor General, because it's normally the Auditor General that will raise these issues, and they will be offer assistance to be part of that meeting, so that if any information is lapsing, we'll get from them. On the 23rd, which is the Friday, members would understand that we are created during the strike. They have proposed that to take Fridays for CS matters. So we also suggested that we put the item, we include it in this bigger program, the subcommittee program, so that it reflects on this bigger one. So on the entire committee program. So we'll be dealing with the third quarter performance financial of the TCS. Focus area is the signal of vacancies and education costs. On Tuesday, we, as members are aware, we've got legislation that we need to also finalize. We have these two bills that we already advertised. We already have submissions from these bills, so we suggest that we hold public hearings for those people who are interested to come and make public hearings. We did not receive much submissions on these two particular bills, so hence we suggested that we hold two on the same day. We also inserted the shortlisting, because we would have adopted the program previous week of the information regulator. So on that day, we also do the shortlisting, because there's not too much submission. On Wednesday, it's briefing by the Department of Justice or on the state litigation and update on the policy, new governance model, vacancies, and other operational challenges. And also the SIU update on litigations on the state attorney's office and the master's office in the Limpopo High Court. As you might be aware, the SIU is a proclamation to investigate the master's office, so we'll be updating us on that. We'll also be deliberating quickly on the customary matters so that we can try and finalize that. On Friday, we'll be dealing with the judicial inspectorate. Members are aware we've got a new inspecting judge, Justice Cameron. We'll also be getting his overview of JICS and the briefing on the revised business model and plans going forward. We want to get to understand his vision for JICS going forward. On Tuesday, it will be the responses by the Department of Justice and the deliberations on the judicial matters bill. And the responses by the department on the customary, because we would have had public hearings the previous week. And we will also take a briefing from the Magistrate Commission. And now and again, we'll have a briefing from the Magistrate Commission on one of the disciplinary matters. And if members of the call, we also wanted to deal deeper into their systematic challenges relating to the disciplinary matters. Then on Wednesday, we'll have the interviews for the information regulator vacancy. And on Friday, we're dealing with the demand detention focus area will be the demand detainees with pay no less than 1,000 rand and programs of demand detainees for the next week. As members would understand, we agreed that we would hold joint meetings with other committees, specifically when we received presentations during our strike plan from one of the stakeholders. that dealt with issues relating to police. So we were approached by the secretariat from the Portfolio Committee on Police that they would be proposing to have a joint meeting on this date on their program. They also have a slot on the 10th of March for a joint meeting. But then we had requested that the chair, our committee chair, to go and engage with that other chair so that the agenda item will be discussed within the two chairs. We proposed that. On Wednesday, we will have public hearings on the prescription on the sexual offences bill. Then the Friday, we will be dealing with DCS, the briefing on internal audits. As members would note on Wednesday, if you note on the 13th of Friday, it says internal audit, then it has number 21 on the bracket. There's a document that we revised with the subcommittee chair, the focus areas of DCS. That note, that 21 there, it takes you, it links you back to the document where the focus area to see where we extracted that agenda item. So that 21 is for that. On Fridays, you can see it will have a number next to it. So it takes you back to that. It links you to that key focus areas of DCS. The Friday briefing on the 13th will focus on the audit action plan to address the irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, including measures to address the issues of release of performance information, which was raised by the AG or during our annual report time, that they were not producing relevant information for performance information on program incarceration. The next day, and then the next week, we'll be dealing with, on the 17th of March, the responses and deliberations on the sexual offences bill, and we'll be deliberating on the information in the regulator vacancy. The Wednesday, we will be adopting the committee report on the vacancy and deliberating on the bill. Then the Friday, we'll be dealing with parole, focusing on the DCS, the successes and challenges and recommendations in the parole system in South Africa as a whole, and pending parole on high-profile inmates, including statistics. That last note, we recall that during the threat plan, I think it was Honorable Mofokeng who raised that issue, saying that some high-profile inmates do make their way quicker to the parole system. So we'll be focusing on that in that last thing. I think that's the proposal from the various chair. My colleagues might want to for you, Chair, if you want to add a few.
Honourable members, that is the proposed program. Any comments? Honourable Hillman, Honourable Swart, Honourable Jere, in that order, Honourable Dennis Breitenbach. That was the first one. Honourable Hisham.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the draft program that we hope that they're doing everything in the first quarter and not the second quarter. But just the clarity around the principal position in terms of the subcommittee on correctional services on Fridays. Would that be a full committee? Is it easier? There's no indication here. If not, how do we reconcile that with the principal committee business, if any? Or do we finalize matters at those sittings on Friday for the matters that's been identified at this moment? I'm not sure we resolved on that issue. For example, if we take the Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Services, it would be the judge's first presentation to this committee as a new inspectorate judge. I suppose there's no decision taken there, really. It's more the information sharing. or is my understanding correct, when these decisions were taken, it would come back to the principal committee. Just for clarity on that. Then on the program and timeline of the filling of the vacancy of the IR, maybe just pre the interview process, we will have to find some time on process in short, just in, I don't see that in the program at this stage, but maybe say I missed that. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the draft program. I just wanted to get an understanding of what is the urgency with this finalization of this treaty, extradition treaty. I see that's the first item we're dealing with next week, and I would like to know why that is prioritized. I'm not disagreeing, I'm just asking the question. And whether it is possible to ask if we are going to be briefed by the departmental officials involved in foreign relations, what is the delay in the implementation of the same treaty, extradition and mutual legal assistance with the United Arab Emirates? We understand, I don't know if it's just a suggestion, I don't know if it's in their domain, or it could be in the NPA's domain when they report back to us, or the department's domain, but I do understand that there are challenges in that regard. So we might put questions to them as well. So firstly, why has this been prioritized? Secondly, the implementation of similar others that we are signed. So we signed that one, I think, almost 2 years ago, and there are challenges in the implementation, so we need to exercise oversight. But that is just a suggestion. Then, Chair, I didn't quite understand the numbers after. Is that sub-programs? For example, 28 February, Judicial Inspectorate 9, Friday, 6 March, Remand Detention 3. I trust that's not the number of minutes we're going to sit. I'm sure we're going to sit longer. Parole process is 4. There must be some correlation somewhere with sub-programs or something like that. And then I presume when we get to the Department of Justice and the NPA with the Auditor General, that'll be general questions as well. So not only focused on Auditor General issues, it's total performance, progress with high-profile cases in particular, and those are some of the issues that we'd like to see raised as well. But subject to those questions, that seems in order. Thank you, Chair.
Can you repeat the last one? The last question?
Just about when the, on the 19th of February, which is next week, the department is presenting before us and the NPA. One presumes that will be a morning, and it's performance against spending, recruitment plan, progress in establishing an investigative directorate. So one will presume they will also give us an update in the implementation of the investigative directorate claims, high-profile claims, in particular those relating to state capture that we've asked continually. So I'm sure they'll be able to give us an update on that as well. I'm sure that it's not just the establishment of the investigative directorate, it is a performance against spending as well that we're going to ask them about. But I'm just interested that the Auditor General normally gives an introductory comment, so we're not limited to what the Auditor General is going to say. That's just my question as well. I presume we're not.
Honourable Chairman?
A little bit shake, so my apologies for coming late. I think most of the question that I wanted to ask is, I think two of them have already been asked by Honourable Swart. But also I want to add on those cases that they are going to investigate in terms of maybe not only on the issues of the state capture, but also looking on, they must also give us a report on those cases that, you know, that I don't know, we call it offshore cases or something like that, those that took money outside the country and all that. So that is to be included with the cases of the state capture. And then also, Chair, on the NPA, the vacancies, this one, I think it should be all vacancies, not only on focus on NPA. I think I'm sure we agreed on that one. And also the report of, that's what I'm saying, he covered me with the high profile cases, but also we must get into this the cases, the internal cases, like for example, we have now cases have those that have been withdrawn, the SARS cases and all those things. So we need to get a report on that one. I'm not sure whether it's a new thing. You know, there's those dropping off cases, and then also there's these cases, high profile cases that keeps on going. They postpone them in a number of occasions, and later you find that they withdraw them. So is it because of maybe it's going to be covered by this investigation team that is going to take charge of what? Okay, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Perhaps because I was late, and I apologize, and perhaps you already did the opposite. How did the vacancy in the information regulator arise that she's going to be filling? And while we're filling vacancies in the information regulator, perhaps we should concern ourselves with the fact that they've not really done much in the last 3 or 4 years. In fact, what they've done is fill the bottom of the thimble. I suppose we should be interrogating that as well while we're busy. Thank you.
Before, I think we attempt to, Honourable Gentlemen, I think before we attempt to answer some of the questions, I think it will be important for members also to remind ourselves that we would not be in a position to deal with everything in the first term. And one of the decisions that we took was to, when we invite entities to come before us, we must be specific. This issue of expecting them to answer everything under the sun, it needs us not to go deeper. I think that is what we also tried and we resolved on. So as a result, that is why I think the Secretariat tried to be specific on the issues that we are requesting. Because part of the problem that we experienced in the last 6 months or so was that you would have a department coming here with 18 people because they're trying to cover every directorate in the department or in the entity. So we agreed that we need to alert them in advance that these are the areas that we will be focusing on so that we don't become so wide that we don't go deeper. I think that that was the decision of the strat plan. So I would really appeal to members that things that might not be covered between now and March, there is still July, May and July and up to December. So we are still going to cover other issues. That was the first thing. I think what we should reflect in the program is what Honorable Mohammed raised. We agreed that after the meeting of the subcommittee, on a Tuesday, they have to be report back to the bigger committee. So we have to allow space in the program for that. The treaty, there is no specific rationale why we have it, as much as there will be no specific rationale why we don't have it. We're trying to focus ourselves, that is the treaty of Bangladesh, we're trying to ensure that we process things before they become a crisis. Even legislations, we don't want a situation where we are found not to have complied with certain deadlines. So that is why we thought that we should deal with legislation, we should deal with oversight issues, we should deal with issues of cheating in the first quarter. So even in the second quarter, we'll always check which legislation must be processed, which treaties must be processed, and which oversight areas must be dealt with. So, Honorable Sir, that was that. I think the issue of the UAE briefing, we would want to treat it as a separate briefing. But for the purposes of next week, we will deal with the treaty of the Treaty of Bangladesh. I think Honorable Barnard, we had dealt with the issue of the vacancy. If you remember very well, last year we did report to the committee that one of the commissioners. Oh, sorry, my apologies. My apologies. My mind is still in a festive mood. Yes. So there was a resignation of one of the information regulators. I think it's Professor, I just forgot her name. Professor Pistorius. So, because there is that vacancy, we have to fill that particular vacancy. We are still going to get a briefing on their performance as the committee, and we interrogate them around that. I've answered the issue of the information regulator. Honorable Jebe, as I've already said, I think she's covered that we will not be in a position to process everything in the next 3 weeks, but it's an ongoing process and engagement, so we're still going to deal with other issues. So we'll not deal with the whole program of the committee then in the first 3 months. So some of the issues, we're still going to identify them and we're going to program them. So there are some of the bills that, for instance, the hate speech, we'll not deal with it in the first week because we're still awaiting for the decision of the Constitutional Court, but it's part of our program for the remainder of the year. Honorable
Danji? Well, you can call me Barnard, it's fine. Thanks, Chair. Thank you very much. No, it's fine. I mean, just a few things, Chair. I thought the meeting was going to be very short, and I'm hoping we're not dragging it unnecessarily. This is a meeting to formalize 2 days of work that we did last week. I think to appreciate the committee support for programmatizing the issues that we discussed. The second point I wanted to make as a general point, I think we should just, for the support staff, because that will help Honorable Member Breitender's kind of question, the issue of your quarterly expenditures must cut across, because your information regulator, if we ask them to come and present, that gives us an opportunity to check their performance. So it must, everybody who accounts to us in terms of the annual performance plan and annual report, the quarterly thing must be a standing. When they come, now we're dealing with the third quarter. That's what we, because we have not done the second quarter, and I'm not sure whether you want to go that back. We're dealing with a quarter that ended in December. I think that's where our interest is, if I'm right. The other point that I wanted to raise is, I think for the NPA, in addition to what you have there, the last time we met with them, we wanted them to come and present a turnaround strategy. And that must be put there. We want the NDPP to come and tell us what is her turnaround strategy, which will speak to a lot of things. But I do want to caution so that our expectations are measured. Whatever that she presents, there are things that she can't just put here because they might jeopardize processes that are in place. So I hear members interested in the high profile, so might not necessarily get things the way it was, it might affect other issues. So I really want to raise that. Honorable Swartz, the issue of the numbers, Sia did explain it. It relates to the Subcommittee on Correctional Services. So point number four relates to parole, which is your last page there. Was parole in that program is number four. And then point 21, then it will be audit outcomes, something like that. So that's why you have those numbers in brackets. And they relate to the Subcommittee on Correctional Services, basically. I didn't get that. You mean SWAT? Chair, can you protect me, please? as we start this term.
It will be very difficult for me to protect you against criticism.
Against? Okay. Let me proceed, Chair. Can I proceed?
When you're being praised, I can't protect you.
Yeah, no. Let me continue. I hope Honorable SWAT is that matter is clarified. You've answered Honorable Mohammed, Hisham Mohammed, but I just want to make the point and emphasize it. Honorable Mohammed, it's either we have a subcommittee or we don't have a subcommittee. And so we have a subcommittee that has a feedback loop to the committee. But if there are issues of interest, because we're not going to wait, that of interest that we're meeting, we're calling the Inspector General of Correctional Services, you're welcome to come. And join that meeting. Of course, in the next week, we'll report back. And so there will be many of those, and we might want to ask for more days for that matter. So there's no clash, there's no contradiction. So I thought I must emphasize that point, so that I think we're at one in terms of how we proceed on this chair. I just wanted to just clarify those matters, and again to emphasize the point that even the quota program or the term program, there's a chairperson's discretion. There might be an issue of urgency. When we've outlined this program, where the chair has made a discretion that here is an issue of national importance that we need to deal with. So the program will therefore be tempered in terms of that particular issue. Or a member might ask that, can we deal with this matter? And the chair might perhaps accede to that. So I'm just making that point that as it is, it's a dynamic, must be seen as a dynamic kind of a program. We certainly are going to do that in the Subcommittee on Correctional Services, because remember here, we're not even putting the unannounced visits, but we can't put them here. And so expect them to be done even if they are not in the program. Thank you, Chair.
I've noted Honorable Swart, Honorable Glenis Rittenbach, but I think what we would need to look at here, for instance, next week, we have identified quite a bit, and the House will be sitting, and it will be the debate on the state of the nation. So we might have a situation where, for instance, on the 19th, I'm concerned about the 19th of February. Honorable Breitenbach, this is a new year. Because we would need, if for instance we would want to approach the House Chair for a permission to sit, these are the things that must be done before time. So I think it would be important, I think for the chair, both chairs and the secretariat, to identify days where we think that we might need more time than the other days, where we would need to sit beyond lunchtime when the House is sitting, so that we can make those applications on time. Secondly, also I think the letters must go to the entities as of today.
so that they have time to prepare also. We don't disorganize them. Yes. Honorable Dennis Creighton. Oh, Honorable Sot.
And very briefly, Chair, just we discussed a lot of issues at the workshop, one of which was the Constitutional Court deadline. And I'll just request that we are mindful of that. Maybe we need to circulate a list of that. There are a couple of deadlines in this year of bills that aren't before us yet that we would need to consider as well.
Thank you very much. Honorable Lennis Breitenbach. So this is, I take it that we agree broadly with the program. The program would be circulated. We know that, for instance, we agreed that we will need to communicate with all the accounting officers or head of institutions about the decisions that we took, how the committee is going to be run going forward, the changes that we are going to be introducing. So that might affect one of these days where we would need to meet formally with the head of our entities to discuss the changes that we are introducing. Thank you very much. Ms. Silkstone?
Chair, I just need some guidance because the justice issues are quite long, and we did go through a lot of it. We just rearranged and padded it up. So where would you like me to focus? Just introduce each topic and then give a brief synopsis, and then we can discuss it.
I think we did discuss a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe what we might, you might just, the issue that you said you must do, just tabulate those. And then we would ask you and the secretariat to slot them in our program. Some of them would be for this term and some of them would be for the next term. But we just wanted to get a sense that what we agreed on has been captured.
The first big area is around addressing the qualified audit opinion in the Department of Justice. And here we're looking at implementation or monitoring the implementation of the audit turnaround and stabilization plan, management of the cap on the salaries budget, and that's sort of related to the organizational realignment, not the same thing, but it is related. The development and rollout of a new financial management program to replace the Justice Yellow Pages, should be part of your audit turnaround plan. Improved performance information, progress in strengthening supply chain management within the department, enforcement of discipline consequences where there's irregular, non-compliant, and or fruitless and wasteful expenditure.
Can you raise your voice?
Okay. So yeah, we just pulled out some of the most the kind of oversight areas around addressing this qualified audit plan, I mean audit opinion. The next big area was the finalization implementation of our organizational realignment model. And here it's monitoring the finalization and implementation of the organizational realignment model, filling vacancies at SMS level, and in critical positions in line with this realignment plan. Then in terms of improved service delivery, we speak about monitoring the provision of training at Justice College, as well as its resourcing and capacitation, and then also the implementation of a service delivery improvement plan. So it's monitoring the implementation of that plan. Then the integrated criminal justice strategy, which incorporates the integrated justice system. Again, monitoring the implementation of the plan and monitoring progress and spending on the rollout of the IJS, as could be done in conjunction with other role-playing departments, which is MPA, Legal Aid, Police, Correctional Services, Home Affairs, and OCJ. Then transformation of state legal services. Here there are a number of issues. It's addressing a fragmented approach to litigation, fraud and corruption within the state legal services. There is abuse of legal processes leading to spiraling costs. I'm sorry, some of this should have been on the other side. So this is an area that we actually identified, we put under law reform. There should be a policy around this and legislation to deal with the fragmented approach and a policy around briefing patterns. Then tackling fraud and corruption within the department. He has monitoring progress of the SIU investigation. So the one so far is the Limpopo High Court, the State Attorney's Office, and the Master's Office. In terms of the transformed legal professions, he has monitoring progress with the implementation of the Legal Practice Act and progress on a bill to regulate the paralegal sector. And then engaging with stakeholders to identify challenges within the profession and functioning of the legal system as a whole. Our Capital Works Program, new court buildings, monitoring the delivery of the Department's Capital Works Program, and this we do with DPW and Development Bank of South Africa. We'd also, when we meet with the department at our quarterly meetings, we'd look at track of spending as well. Maintenance and repair of court buildings and justice service points. It's monitoring the maintenance of court buildings, and that's with DPW. Eradicating gender-based violence in line with the commitments contained in the emergency plan. Then monitoring progress regarding the rollout, resourcing, functioning, and impact.
Can I suggest, honourable member, that really what we might need to do is to. But some of the issues you're talking about already, they are reflected in the program.
Yes.
I think some of them, I think we must start working on the second quarter program, second term program, to try and improve some of those issues. Well, I think it's going to be a repetition in a certain respect. That's okay, honorable members. I think what we forgot, Mr. Stone, is the a record of all the decisions around operational issues, how we are going to be running the committee. I think maybe in our next meeting, if we can prepare a record of those decisions, all of them. All right. Honorable members, we are fine. Welcome, Honorable Simang. I say welcome. You are the only one who has not been welcome to welcome and happy 2020. Okay. So can we go to the last item, which is going to be preliminary views around expanding public participation? Honorable members, please note that these are just preliminary views. We will not be discussing to make a decision. We said Mr. Stone and the research unit, they must just prepare a document on how we are going to be dealing with the issue of public participation. And there was a question asked by Honorable Janji, which is going to be the starting point. If you can generally update us on Ms. Silkstone, how far are we with that particular process?
Okay, so we did prepare a short memo, a proposal for expanding our public public slash stakeholder participation in committee activities. So at present, public participation in committee activities is largely confined to when we call for public hearings for legislation, or we saw public participation happening around our when we filled the position of the deputy public protector. So that's more or less what happens. And of course, stakeholders approach the committee; they write to the chairperson or to individual members. And the reason why this has happened, why we have this limited engagement, is because of the workload of the committee and the time. So after meeting last week, we did start talking about having a stakeholder or public participation around activities like the budget, but then asking for written submissions. So the proposal is that we identify areas where we can invite the public to make written submissions on a particular event. So the budget is a really good place. And even when we get to BRRR, we could also ask for input around the forward funding needs of a department. The risk is that sometimes the response, I'm not saying this will definitely happen, but the risk is that the response may be overwhelming. So we also need to be mindful of our own resources and our ability to deal in a respectful way with public submissions. So we would need to then, when we ask the public to make submissions or a stakeholder to engage, then we need to then think quite carefully about how we want the format of that engagement.
I don't think we have moved beyond the point we were last week. So I would suggest that if the research unit can circulate a document that we can engage on. Because I don't think that we have moved beyond the point we were in last week. It will need a careful application of minds, because quite correctly, Mr. Stone, you are also alerting us to the risk of being overwhelmed by the response to a point where it can collapse this whole idea. And so I think it will be important that we have to have a document that would carefully think about all of these issues, the risks, and the advantages, and then how are we going to manage it going forward, or thinking about a gradual implementation. But we must first answer the question, what is wrong with what we have? I think that was the question that was asked. So I think that document should deal with all of those issues for a proper discussion by the committee. Are we fine, honorable members?
Thank you very much. I think you've covered me very well, and I just want to add, as part of that process, in addition to that question, maybe what needs to happen is, because even as we sit here, we've got the public with us. Rape crisis is here, I'm just mentioning one. The issue must be, so that as we develop that proposal, As we attend to the issue of the problem and the proposal, you already involve the public in that, and I would suggest that we summarize what we think are our successes of public involvement, including the beautiful process of the Deputy Public Protector. But you ask the question from those stakeholders, because I assume that we've got a database of all our stakeholders. We ask them that question. What is it that we need to improve in our public participation? Because the issues there is their access to the work of this committee, the involvement, and whether what they bring here means anything. And so if we do that,
and you allow, we give them time to give us their comments. And by the time it gets to be part of your proposal, I don't know. I mean, whether that's going to be helpful. But the issue I'm raising is that get them involved already as part of the proposal. But they might give us certain insights or certain things that we think we're doing well, but they are not happy about. So allow them the space to influence. We've done a program, which I think is a very good program, but this is a leg that is very important. So in addition to what you say, Chair, this is what I would suggest that we do. So 7 days allowing that process is, because you might be having other stakeholders, unlike the NGO, Rape Crisis, community-based organization, that are not as mobile as they are, and not as accessible to resources as they are. So in what way is this committee interacting with those kind of issues? I really, without elaborating on the matter, I think this is an innovation that this committee is doing. We're not doing it because we're failing. It's an innovation as well. Do we better our work? I think that's how we must look at it.
No, I think there will be no, I don't think that there will be a counter on that. Just put in a proposal that can be sent even to the public to invite their input. Thank you very much. I think we have come to the end of our discussion.
Before you mention this, there's something that is worrying me that I'm thinking of the about youth that they write, they send their complaints, the issues that can't be, even if it's not imposed, sometimes they send their complaints in terms of something else that is outside, they send it to the
I don't think they hear you at the back.
Okay, just in short, sorry for that. I was just reflecting on the issue of those stakeholders or the citizens, those who write their issues or complaints, send them to Parliament. Like we are now trying to get reach of to those, even those who don't have resources. And I know that you are going to have a lot of letters or whatever that you'll be sending to us. Did we think about how we're going to tackle that one? Because it's a time on its own. Following up on those issues, it might need time. If maybe something like that is raised, how are we going to approach that, if there's any answer on that? I'm just reflecting.
That is why we're saying that there has to be a comprehensive look at the whole issue, even that one. That document will take all of those issues and give some form of a guidance and invite also the public to make inputs. Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned.